So it's only a week since Easter, but I think we need a bit of a recap. Joel and Will, can you just come and hold this for me, please? So these are just the events of Easter. And then I'm going to ask Linda to come and do the reading. But children, when Linda's doing the reading, I want you to listen very carefully, particularly to the first bit of the reading, because in the reading, there are some people who want to miss out a bit of the Easter story. Okay, so I want you to listen very carefully as Linda's reading and see if you can work out which bit of this story the people are thinking about getting rid of.
But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day, I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought, and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame.
So, any of the children, can you tell me which bit of the story people were doubting or wanted rid of? Michelle. Thank you, Michelle, the resurrection. So, some people were thinking, not sure about the resurrection of Jesus. Oh dear. Dear, that's a big, exclamation mark. Right, if we just lay this down on the floor, that'll be fine just now, thank you. So, some people in Corinth, because that's who Paul was writing to, the Corinthians, there were some people, and they were saying, oh, we're not really sure about resurrection. We're not sure if people can come back from the dead. Now, Paul doesn't really tell us why they were thinking that. It might have been because the people around them, the Greek thinkers, They rubbished that. They said, oh, that's stupid to believe that people can come back from the dead. Why would you believe that? It's impossible. But it's a very big mistake to make. And now that Paul has heard that some people in the church are saying, oh, resurrection, not sure about that, he has to write to them and say, look, we need to think about this. That's why we've got our big exclamation mark. Stop and think. Can't just get rid of the resurrection. It's almost as though Paul's saying, do you know what you will lose if you say there is no resurrection? Well, let's have a look and see if we can find out what Paul thinks is at stake. People are saying, oh, we don't think people can be brought back from the dead. So have a look in verse 14. So if people think no one can be brought back from the dead, who does that include in verse 14? Simon? Yes. So Jesus' resurrection, that's at stake, isn't it? Okay, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus can't have been raised. Oh, okay. Okay, so if Jesus hasn't been raised, that affects other things, doesn't it? If Jesus hasn't been raised, what has Paul spent his life doing? Verse 14. Anna. Preaching, yeah, preaching what? No, but what has he been preaching? Well, thank you, but yes, it's been useless if there's no resurrection. But what he's preaching, he has, okay? If you look back at chapter 15 and verses 3 and 4, it tells us what Paul was preaching, what his gospel included, and he says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So Paul has been preaching the gospel, which includes the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, so if Jesus didn't rise, what does that mean Paul's been doing? Paul's just been making up stories then, hasn't he? But what else do we learn in verse 14? When Paul has been preaching, what have some people done when they've heard the gospel? How have they responded to the gospel that Paul has preached? Yeah, they've had faith in Jesus, haven't they? Brilliant. They've had faith in Jesus. So preaching the resurrection, people have put faith in the gospel. And that's what happens, isn't it? Paul preaches, he tells people Jesus died according to the scriptures, Jesus was raised again according to the scriptures, and people put their faith. Remember in Acts, big crowds of people, 500 people in one day, went, oh yeah, we believe that. So people have put their faith in Jesus. And faith needs a foundation, isn't it? We don't just have faith, we have faith in something. And here people have had faith in the gospel, which talks about Jesus' resurrection. But if there is no resurrection, well, what happens to people's faith? But it gets worse, doesn't it? What have Paul and the apostles been telling people that God has done in verse 15? Have a look at verse 15. What have they been saying? The apostles have been telling people, what has God done? Jonathan and Grace, what have the apostles been saying about God? We've testified about God that he... What were you going to say, Will? Yeah, he raised Christ from the dead. So the apostles have been saying, God has raised Jesus from the dead. But if Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then the apostles are lying. And that's... Who are the apostles? Well, they are the church foundation. They are the foundation of the church, aren't they? The apostles and prophets together are the foundation of the church. So the apostles who are the foundation of the church, well, if there is no resurrection, they've been lying. Oh dear, that makes everything quite shaky, doesn't it? If they're lying. But then there's even worse news to come. Have a look in verse 17. And what problem has not been dealt with if there's no resurrection? Yes, thank you, Anne. Sins, there's no forgiveness of sin. If there's no resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin. Sin cannot be forgiven. If there's no resurrection of Jesus, there can be no forgiveness of sin, and people cannot know God. Because we need our sins forgiven to know God. And then have a look at verse 18. Who else is affected if there is no resurrection? There's another group of people in verse 18 who will be affected if there's no resurrection. Christians who die. That's awful, isn't it? Remember, we thought about the thief on the cross, and what did Jesus promise him? Just before he died, Jesus promised him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But if Jesus isn't resurrected, there's no hope for those who are dead in Christ. There's no eternal life. Right, Grace and Jonathan, come out here, quickly. Quickly. Don't know how long this is going to stand. Okay, see, the thing Paul is saying, if there is no resurrection of the dead, we don't get anything else, do we? So can you whip out the resurrection from the dead? Brilliant, well done. Thank you very much. But that's what Paul's saying, isn't it? He's told us all these things, and they all depend on Jesus' resurrection. And he says, if you get rid of Jesus' resurrection, none of the rest of these things can stand. Everything is lost if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Everything. All those things depend on Jesus' resurrection. Believers are the biggest losers. Now, adults, you might not know this, but amongst children and young people, when we're playing a game, if someone loses, it's a bit cheeky, but sometimes we go, loser, loser, if someone's lost, okay? That's what that picture's doing. But Paul says, if there is no resurrection, then believers are the biggest losers. And Paul says Christians are the biggest losers if Jesus did not rise from the dead. But we're losers in two ways. Twice over, we're losers. Not just once, but twice over, we're losers. Because in this life, we follow Jesus, don't we? We follow Jesus, we obey him, and that means we don't join in with the world and all that it says that we should do. We live differently in our attitudes to marriage, to money, to our life's mission, and the world makes fun of us because of that. We even get a hard time from our own denomination, don't we, for standing up for what we think Jesus says and what we should believe. And Paul says, well, if there's no resurrection, you're suffering in this life. What losers you are. If Jesus didn't rise, why are you bothering to follow him in this life, going through all that suffering? If he didn't rise, forget it. But Paul also says, doesn't he, that eternal life is affected. So we lose twice over. He says, well, you lose out in this life, but even bigger, you have no hope of eternal life. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you've got no hope. No hope in this life. You'd be as well just doing what you want in this life. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and for the next life, you have no hope either. Jesus himself told the disciples on several occasions that after 3 days, the Son of Man, that was a name he used for himself, would rise. But if there's no resurrection, all that Jesus has said and promised cannot be trusted. Paul says we're big time losers, and people should pity us because we're deluded and cheated. Wow. That's quite serious, isn't it? If there's no resurrection, in verse 19, what does Paul say? If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more. than all men. So we left that on quite a solemn note, didn't we? That if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ didn't rise from the dead, and all those things that he's promised us are false and lost. But look at the beginning of verse 20. But that's an important word, because sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you come across a but like this one in verse 20, you go, yes, that is such a big but. I'm going to read verses 20 to 22 for us with the big but. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That but tells us Jesus did rise. Can we get anyone excited about that? Yes, excellent. Okay. That huge big but at the beginning of verse 20 is so important. It says, but Jesus did rise. And actually, if we had the time, we could quickly rebuild. We might do that a bit later. Rebuild all our things. Because it says, no, Jesus did rise from the dead. So all these things are true. And instead of being the biggest losers, Christians are indeed, believers are, the biggest winners. Jesus did rise from the dead. All these things are true. But that tells us some other things. So it tells us that the gospel is true, sins can be forgiven, and eternal life is the real deal. It's promised to all those who put their faith in the risen Jesus. There we go. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means keep on believing the gospel yourself. It is true. You can absolutely put your faith in it. Remember, faith was one of the blocks. Well, we can absolutely put our faith in Jesus. Keep on believing the gospel yourself. And keep on living the gospel life. Okay? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. So keep on living the gospel life. And keep on sharing the gospel. Even if people look at you and go, that's a bit strange that you believe that. And do you really think people can come back from the dead? Oh, yes. That's what my whole story is based on. Keep on believing, keep on sharing the gospel, keep on praying for our mission partners, because Jesus did rise from the dead. The gospel is true. Paul says something else. He talks there, doesn't he? He talks about something called the first fruits. He says, Jesus Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now, we might not understand that as much as they did. It was an Old Testament idea. But has anyone got any signs of fruit or veg growing in their garden at the moment? Rhubarb, excellent. Oh, if I'd known that, I would have asked you to bring some, Anne. Because what they did in the Old Testament, the very first fruit or veg that appeared, they would take them and they'd take them to the temple and they'd offer them to God as a thank you that things had grown. But also these first fruits were a promise that more would come. So when Paul says Jesus' resurrection from the dead is like the first fruits, it means he's the first one. He was the first one to be brought back from the dead, never to die again. Because obviously Jesus had, who did Jesus bring back to life? Lazarus, thank you. But Lazarus was going to die again, wasn't he? But Jesus is the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again. But he's the first. And anyone who puts their trust in Jesus, we are the next bit of the harvest. So if Jesus rose from the dead, So will we if we put our trust in him. Wow. So Paul says, trust in him. And know that because Jesus is the first fruits, he's the first bit of rhubarb, but there's going to be more, isn't there, Anne? There's going to be lots more rhubarb. Yeah. And that's us. Anyone who's put their trust in Jesus, they too will be resurrected. So Paul says, keep looking forward to Jesus' return and your resurrection body. Because we will be brought back to life. The Christians who've already died, as soon as Jesus returns, and we're going to find out more about this next term in 1 Thessalonians, so do come if you want to know more about this. But Paul says those who are already dead in Christ, they will be given their new resurrection body, and those of us who are still alive, we'll get ours too. So keep looking forward to Jesus' return and to your resurrection body. Keep hoping. It means we have hope for the future. And keep comforting those who have lost loved ones who were believers. Keep reminding them that it is true. Jesus rose from the dead. They will be given new resurrection bodies and will rise to new life. So we can see how really important it is, isn't it, that we keep the resurrection, that we don't say, oh, it's an old idea, or, oh, well, people find it hard to believe these days. Paul says, no, it's central to all that Christians believe. Remember that if we take the resurrection out, what happens? Everything else falls down. So keep believing.